Now, in section C, part C rather, we have two charts. So the first we're going to do is a review of the gold GLD contract, which is same money flow, same argument. You find a low and you get the peak of the money flow index, and you go to the equal time and you get a projection peak. And we have a gold coming down to the blue line. You know, so maybe it's going to hold here, it's going to turn up, and it's going to come up into one last peak before it crashes. Before it plunges down to the red line. Not crashes, I wouldn't say that. That was very weird. That's supported by the long-term T's and so forth. Whether you want to go for that one, is pretty much up to an option. But what you really want to do is you want, in the case of the bottom zone, is if you do make a sharp drop in the gold, it's the same argument. What you want to do is find some kind of a spike down, and if it's an intraday spike, you're dealing with an intraday fund. That's a buy point, and it should be in the middle of December. So we just leave that there. The surprise is that after you do all these intermediate T's, you would always come back to the S&P 500, which is probably the main idea for the S&P 500. And here we have the dollar sign SPX. And the lesson from the high yield bonds is you always go for the first low, the intraday low, which is in July. And so Parker has done it. His website is doing things now all the time. So I just give a reference to his websites. And you've got this case of why isn't there a equal time projection from the July low to the peak in the late September time period, which comes out into coming out in the same place as the gold T. It's basically in the early December time period. Okay, you can refer to his calculation. I think he had the sixth problem. Well, the answer to that one is it sort of depends on what your idea of the risk reward ratio, because it's in conflict to the D top in the first my first track back low. That's momentum peak. And so we want to kind of pretty much left to the question as to whether it wants to bounce off the blue moving average, or does it want to come down and bounce off and bounce up. But in the end, you end up down in a low zone of an oversold condition, and that's what you're looking for. So I don't want to get into this because I don't think we have enough information here yet to crystallize our forecast that the gold and the S&P T's with this early December high are whether they mean it's an all-time new high or it's going to have a recovery and then it's going to fall over and stuff like that. So I would say that basically your fallback position is that the D top, which occurred in early December, is the peak. You know, they're going to fiddle around here and maybe they're going to bounce off some of these moving averages, and then you're going to go. But the real opportunity that you want to focus on is in the mid-December time period, where you will get a opportunity that could be, if it's a spike down, just a spike down to a nice low, that's okay. And you go back to the old highs, because I don't believe you can go substantially over the old highs based on those other considerations. Or if you could make it a flash crash where you can just drive it right down to the bottom zone, you would get a better opportunity. It doesn't make any difference because the date seems to come out. It's best information we got is it's the middle of December, or it's the third week in December between the 13th and the 17th. And, so why do you want to worry about anything except that week? Okay. If you own something, then you'd have to consider what you get in there, but that would be coming from the arms ratio, so that doesn't make any difference. In the end, by the time you go down in the bottom zone, you're going to know what these peaks are, because that'll have all been transpired, and then you will get a real true reading on the money flow T's. And the money flow T's are then going to become, if they're very, very reliable, what you do is you just form another money flow T. So they're coming out okay. Don't really want to know whether the new T is bullish or bearish. You just want to know what the date is. What you'd want to find is that you have a low, and as you come out, you'd watch the money flow indicator to go up into the little overbought level that is over 80. and then that would mark the halfway point. You'd probably get a correction because you're overbought at that point, but then you could chance it, and you can take it into whatever the date is, and doesn't really make any difference, except to say that if it blows off, maybe you want to sell something or something. But if things look like they're going okay, you could just carry it into the money flow date. Whether you can do that safely or not will depend on these other two T's, because they're overbought. Well, the gold T is overbought because the gold T is overbought, but not necessarily as overbought that it can't make a new high. And the S&P 500 has got headwinds to it, so we'll find out what that story is. That's mainly what we're trying to do, is to nail down the question of whether they can get up, or maybe you should just sell the earlier top because it can't quite make it up to the top. That happens in long range, in intermediate T's and long range T's, where you wish you had always sold it a little bit earlier. So we'll just leave that as a difference between the it's a fine point. But if you do get some kind of a hang up there, and then you get a sharp drop off at the end of it, I'd say the T's are about as reliable as anything you're going to get in the stock market, considering it's a mechanical time symmetry. And we'll leave that. Okay, now I'll just give you my final thoughts in section D, just as an audio file.